Earth revolving around the sun, pattern of sleep and wake, pattern of form and function. Our very bodies follow a pattern. And little patterns of the ridges and valleys of our brains, the pattern of life, everything follows a pattern. Because God is God of patterns. So patterns exemplify design, order, function, purpose. Everything follows a pattern. And so in our exercise of our religion, there are patterns that we are supposed to follow. We'll talk about it for a few moments tonight. Once I get all my patterns down and working. Pattern of words and words of a pattern. When I was in high school, I took, actually it was middle school, I had to take some kind of art class, and so I took a class on calligraphy. Can you believe it? And I got pretty good at it. I'm a man of many talents. And the way that you get good at calligraphy, like you do most anything else, is you learn the forms, the functions, the movements. You learn them by practice. You do it over and over and over again. But you start out learning the pattern. And they would actually have a piece of paper. And on this piece of paper, they would have an outline of the shape that you needed to make. Like in this illustration here, you can almost make them out, just barely. And then you would take your pen and you would dip it in ink. And you would try to follow them very precisely. And the more careful you were, the more exact you were, the more deliberate and slow you were in actually tracing out that same movement, that same form, that same pattern, you would get better and better at calligraphy. And I got pretty good at it, but I was never as good at it as my wife is. Peg is very, very good at calligraphy. I've forgotten it all. I couldn't do it to save my life. But that's how you get good at it. Like a lot of things, you follow patterns. In the church, in the Lord's church, in this church, we say that we follow the pattern of the church in the New Testament. And that's exactly right. There is a pattern for the church. There is a pattern of teaching, a pattern of worship, a pattern of behavior, a pattern of work, and a pattern of spirit. And we are to follow that pattern. Now, I'm not saying that we're great at it. I'm certainly not saying we're perfect at it. But it is our aim, our purpose, to follow the patterns of the church of the New Testament. Because that is what we're supposed to do. Now, we didn't just make this up. We didn't just say, I think we'll just follow the pattern of the New Testament. That's not language that we created. That's not an aim or a goal that we invented. The New Testament itself, Paul in particular, teaches us this concept. And in teaching us this concept, Paul, guided by the Holy Spirit, chose very specific words. And these words express the concept of pattern. And I want to look at some of those words tonight and show you what it is that I'm talking about. So the first words, the word we're going to look at, is the word imitate. It could also just as easily be translated mimic. Imitate. don't think there's anybody here who is reasonably old enough and mature enough to understand language who doesn't understand what it means to imitate, to copy, to try to act the same way as somebody else. Here's a passage that expresses that idea. 1 Corinthians 4:15 and 16. Paul writes to the church in Corinth and he says, "For in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel, therefore I urge you to imitate me." Imitate me, Paul says. Because that's what children do with fathers. When children get old enough to be aware of what's going on, they look at, they watch their fathers, and they learn how to act. And they do that by imitation. They may not even know what the words mean that they're saying. They may not know what the actions mean that they're performing. They just know that this is my dad, and this is what he said, and this is the way he's acting, and I want to say that and act that way. That's exactly what the word in the original language means. Mimetes. And you can see our word, mime, comes from that word. A mime isn't just somebody who acts things out silently. He imitates certain actions. As if, you know, the wall was there or the rope was there. He's imitating an action. He's mimicking. He's a mime. It comes from this word. And here is the definition of this word, this Greek word. An imitation that arises. A mentor setting a proper example. And I cited the example of a child acting like his father. We had Jeremy and Katie with us this week, and our grandson, Jackson, is heavily into the mimicking mode. he just, whatever you say, you got to be real careful what you say, because whatever you say, he's going to say the same thing. And just yesterday, you know, I walked up to him. He was looking in a cabinet, and I said, what are you doing, boy? And he looked up and he said, what are you doing, Paul? And he'll just whatever you say, he'll say it. And that's what Paul means. He says, through the gospel, have become your father. Imitate me. And Paul, by strength of character and also by his guidance through the Holy Spirit, was able to say something as bold and as dramatic as that. You act like me. This is the way you need to act. And you know, Paul sets an example for us in lots of ways. By his courage, by his generosity, by his devotion, by his dedication, by his obedience to the gospel, by his proclaiming of the gospel, by his constant vigilance in worship and in teaching, his adherence to Jesus Christ, he sets a great example for us. We need to act like him. We need to mimic him, imitate him. Here's another passage that uses exactly the same word, in this case in the verbal form. Follow my example. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Because, you know, it's not just Paul deciding that he himself, by himself, is somehow the perfect model for how people ought to behave. No, it's Paul acting like Christ. That's the idea. Christ is the perfect model, but the Corinthians had never met Christ. I mean, they knew some things about Christ through the gospel, obviously, but they'd never watched Christ, his behavior, his mannerisms, his language, certainly his conduct, but they had watched Paul. Paul had been in Corinth for a couple of years and would be back on a few occasions for visits. And Paul's saying, you know what I'm like, act like me. Follow my example because I follow Christ. I praise you for remembering me in everything and for holding fast the tradition. Here we get to the rub of the matter. Holding to the traditions just as I pass them on to you. Patterns of behavior, patterns of conduct, patterns of worship, because that's what this passage is about, 1 Corinthians 11, is about. It's about the Lord's Supper, among other things. You know how I conducted myself in Christ. You know how I behaved in the church. You know the kinds of things that I did in worship and in the work of the church. This is how you need to behave. These are the traditions that I passed on to you. Follow them. And the word follow, an example, mean to imitate, to mimic. You do it the same way. When people say, well, there's no pattern for how a church ought to behave or how it does its work, or there's no pattern of teaching, I don't know where they get that idea. They certainly didn't get it from the Apostle Paul. Look at this. 1 and 6. You became imitators. There's that word again. Mimetes. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, because, you know, that's the way that works. The Apostle Paul, guided by the Spirit of God, becomes the model. He becomes the form, the pattern. Imitate. Imitate me in the Lord in the midst of severe suffering. You welcome the. And that's what people who are imitating the Apostle Paul do. The Apostle Paul, he received the message. Now, he fought it for a while, and he struggled against that message for a while, but he finally succumbed to it and accepted it and embraced it. And that's what we need to do. There is a message, and that message is something that we need to conform ourselves to. And you need to follow Paul's example in that. Imitate him. Or this passage, Philippians 3 and verse 17. Brethren, join in following my example. In this case, the word that he used is a combination of sum, mimetes. Mimetes, you see there again, is mimic. The word sum adds that prefix. Adds with, word with. And the idea is that you get together with your brethren and you join together and you together determine and dedicate yourself to this goal of being like me. So it's a church thing. It's a fellowship thing. It's a brethren thing. This combined effort that we engage in to follow the example of Paul. And so it's not simply a matter of you and me individually doing this, but together we do this, together as a congregation. We set ourselves to the goal of following the example of Paul. Of those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. So I see you and you see me, and together, as we follow Paul together, I encourage you, you encourage me. That's the idea. To hold each other to that same pattern. And so when you see someone getting out of line, so to speak, somebody who's not following the pattern, somebody who's you know, getting off the mark, try to pull them back. If you see me kind of stray off, you know, you pull me back. Together, we dedicate ourselves to following that pattern. A fellow imitator, that's what we are. Fellow imitators, to bring to the same form with some other person or thing to render like. Have you ever seen? I used to be in junior ROTC, and we had to march. And the idea of marching, it's very interesting. It's not just some kind of ritual that's meaningless. It actually has a form or function. When troops come into formation and they march together and all together step at the same time, it's very efficient. If you've ever tried to corral up a bunch of kids and try to get them, a big bunch of kids, to get them down a hallway and out into the yard and then back in the, and they all bunch together and they all, and you know, it takes a lot of time. But soldiers, they get in formation and they go, and they all go at the same time, and it's fast. And that's why they did it. That's why armies took up this practice, because if you wanted to get a bunch of soldiers quickly from this point of the battlefield to this point of the battlefield, or across that bridge or through that town, it was so much quicker if they all marched together in unison together. And that's what this word's talking about. It's talking about together we march with a common purpose. But in that verse, that very same verse, Paul also uses another word that means type, pattern, or model. And there it is in Philippians 3:17. Who walk according to the pattern you have in us. And that word for pattern is tupos. Talked about this before, the typology of the forms and figures of the Old Testament that are fulfilled in the antitype of Christ. So you have a form or a figure, and then you have a fulfillment or a counter impression of that type that has the same shape. And so it's one thing that corresponds to another, and that's what a pattern is. Pattern is a shape or a form, and you want to cut or impress another shape or form is exactly like the pattern. And so now you got two things that look exactly alike. And Paul is saying that we need to walk according to the pattern you have in us. And the word he uses is tupos. And it's a word that means the mark of a blow. If you ever seen one of these things where somebody runs into something and it bears the shape or impression or image. And I've seen these shows where somebody was struck with somebody who had a ring and it left an impression. And then they caught the guy and he had the ring and it met up with the impression. Or you get a dental impression on somebody's bite and you convict them on that basis because it's unique. The impression matches up with the thing that did the striking. A stamp struck by a die, a figure, a copy, an image, a pattern, a model, a type, prefiguring something or somebody. That's what tupos means, and you know what I'm talking about. Like a typewriter makes an impression in ink on the page. It's exactly like the hard metal of the type set. Or you've got some kind of a stamp, you know, a rubber stamp or a metal stamp, and you dip it in ink and stamp it on the page. It has the same shape as that mold. That's what a type is. Or you cut out a pattern, you make an address. Never personally had occasion to do it, but if you did, you'd want to be exact. You have to have the seams to match up to give the shape of the final product, the dress. And so you follow that pattern. You cut it exactly. You mark it out with wax or with some kind of mark, and then you cut that pattern very exactly because it has to be exact. It has to match up. That's the point of the pattern. No point in having a pattern if you're not going to follow the pattern. Or you cut out cookie cutter. You make your cookies. And the reason that you want your cookies all to look the same is because it looks nice. They're all pretty. Paul uses this word because it's something that was familiar to them. You know, we read in Acts chapter 7 this idea that when the tabernacle was built in the wilderness by Moses, the Lord told him, "You follow the pattern. Build it the way that I showed you. I showed you a pattern. Now follow it." had to be very exacting in detail. Exactly the way that the Lord wanted him to build it. And that's the word that Paul uses in places like this. Romans 6:17. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. Well, this exemplifies the kind of life that we have. Before, we had a life where we just kind of did whatever. You know, you do what you want to do, and you do it when you want to do it, and how you want to do it, and you just follow your own whim and your own will and your own way, but not anymore. As Christians, we've signed on to something. And we need to follow that something, that pattern. And by using that word, Paul is trying to impress upon us the importance and the carefulness and the dedication that we must have. He uses the word allegiance to express that same concept, and he calls it a pattern of teaching. You don't think there's a pattern of teaching in the New Testament that we need to adhere to? There absolutely is. It's what distinguishes us from the world. The world's not trying to follow the pattern of teaching that has been handed to us through Christ and through His inspired apostles. They're not trying to be allied with that. They have no allegiance to that, but we have to. We have to be serious about this. This is Christ's church. We are Christians. There is a pattern of teaching. And it matters that we stick to it. Follow it. It's what patterns are for. The Lord could have said, just free-handed. Just make it up as you go along. But He didn't. This is the pattern. Pattern of teaching. Obey it. And patterns have to be obeyed. Because patterns matter. There's no reason to have a pattern unless it matters. Obey it. Obey it from your heart. Be dedicated to it. Don't just pay lip service and say, yeah, we're going to follow the pattern of the Lord, the pattern of the teaching. No, obey it from the heart. Philippians 4 and verse 9. Now, this verse doesn't have any of these words in it, but it certainly conveys the concept. Philippians 4 and verse 9. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Now that's, you know, Paul uses a lot of following words, doesn't he? You've learned it, you've received it, you've heard it, and you've seen it. Well, that communicates a lot of attention. You've watched me, you've seen me, you've heard me, and that's what you do when you're following a pattern, you know? When I remember my brother, when he was trying to be careful in drawing something or making something, he'd always stick, that's how he would stick his tongue out, like that. And you know, that's how I knew, serious. He'd be very careful, and he was good. My brother's an artist. Well, you cannot haphazardly do what Paul's talking about here. And so here we have in the New Testament, half of which was written by Paul, and the book of Acts is mostly about Paul, we have this pattern of teaching and of behavior and instruction. And you see it and you hear it and you follow it. Because it's what you need to do in order for the God of peace to be with you. 2 Thessalonians 3:8 through 9, Paul says it this way, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. Now, here, both words are used. The model is the word for tupos, and imitate is that mimetes that we talked about earlier. Paul says, look, I could have just stopped working. I had the right to do that. I could have just asked for you to support me, and there would have been nothing wrong with that. That would have been perfectly appropriate. But I wanted to make an impression on you. And that uses that same concept, doesn't it? An impression. Make an impression on somebody. I wanted to set a model for you. I wanted to show you, for your behavior, how you need to think and behave. And that is to work and share and provide. That's a good model. Follow that model. And that's a model you need to follow as well. 2 Timothy 1:13, follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Now here, Paul uses the word pattern, expresses exactly the same concept that we've been talking about. In this case, he uses tupos. I don't know if you can make that sound, tupos, tuposis. But he adds another prefix, hupo. It's an interesting word. Hupo means upon. It's like something that's down from above. Hupo. Hupotopus is when you have something that you're trying to make below to match what's above. And it's a word that means an outline, a sketch, an example, a pattern, an example, a form, a sample. But sketch or outline is a good idea because, you know, we know about how you trace. You know, you take something from above and below, and the impression comes through, and you mark out the exact same outline that is below from above. And so you get the same exact tracing, the exact picture. Hupotopus. Well, that's what we need to do, you know. The pattern of sound words. Follow them. Well, Timothy is an evangelist. Timothy's a preacher. What do you preach as a preacher? You just make something up? A lot of guys do. But that's not what you're supposed to do. What you're supposed to do is you're supposed to open your Bible and look at the tracing. Look at the words, the pattern of sound words, and then stick to it. Follow it. Preach the Bible. Preach the Word of God. Don't stray. Don't get out of the lines. Don't go off on your own. Don't get off the reservation. Stay right where the Bible is. And as long as you're preaching Bible and exactly what the Bible is saying, you're good. That you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. That's what we need to do. And that's why we talk about that. We use the language of pattern because it's right there in the Scriptures. 1 Timothy 1:16, but I receive mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. And here Paul uses a very personal example. He says, you know what, I was a blasphemer, I was a violent aggressor, I was a mean man, I was an ugly man, I was a persecutor, but the Lord showed mercy to me. And he did that, in part, to offer me as an example for anybody to follow, to say, you know what, I'm not a good person, and I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, and I don't think I'm worth saving. I don't think I'm worthy of saving. I don't think that it's hard for me to even conceive that God can forgive me and that I can have my sins forgiven, and I just don't know if it's possible, but I see Paul. I see how evil and vile and malicious and ugly he was, and the terrible things that he did, and the Lord saved him. And he's my example. He's my pattern. He's my model. And if the Lord can save him, he can save me. And that's what it's about. You know, he's an example. He's a hupotupos. And I trace his behavior. He came to the gospel. He declared his faith in Jesus. He was baptized. And he got into the church and he worked for the Lord. And I can do the same thing. And it doesn't matter where I come from or what I've done in the past. I can do the same thing if I just follow the example of Paul. And that's a beautiful thing. And that's exactly what the Lord wants us to learn from that. So in conclusion, we should follow the patterns laid out for us in the New Testament. The patterns of teaching, of worship, of work, of behavior, of obeying the gospel and of being saved like the Apostle Paul. Because these patterns matter. They're important. Language wouldn't be there. It wouldn't be used in the New Testament if it didn't matter, if it wasn't important. If the concept wasn't there, if the concept wasn't important, it wouldn't be there. But it is there. It's a pattern that we're to follow. A pattern of patterns. Words that express those patterns. We should stick to them closely. And that's what we're striving to do in this congregation. That's why we follow the New Testament worship and our teaching and our practices. Because patterns matter. And if you would like to follow those patterns tonight by declaring your faith in Jesus Christ and being baptized for the remission of your sins, you would be in good company. You would be following a pattern that was set by the Apostle Paul and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Come forward and say that you will as we stand and sing.